take your Bibles out. We're going to try. I think I'm going to finish it, whether I'm done or not. Finish up on our study on Proverbs. Tonight we're talking about our eyes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Let me just review very, 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 very lightly here. God has much to say about our eyes in the Bible. They are the windows to a person's soul. Let me remind you, the soul and the spirit are different. The body is our shell. The soul is our personality. It's what we are. And the spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. That is the spiritual level. You can't see someone's soul. You can't see someone's spirit. But a soul is a person's, their personality. It's what they are. But the soul and the spirit are different. But your eyes reveal what your soul is doing often. I don't mean this to sound arrogant. If it is, I apologize in advance. I watch people. You don't preach as many times as I have, sit on platforms for 30 years like I have, and been in front of millions of people and not learn to read people a little bit in their eyes. I know when people are listening to me. I know when they're not listening to me. I know when they're mad. I know when they're not. Often I can look at a person's eyes and tell when they're not well. I can tell when they're tired. Usually the slobber's running out of the side of their mouth. There's much to say. People speak with their eyes, and I hate to say this, sometimes your eyes speak more loudly than your mouth. So you can tell someone's interested, someone's not interested. You can tell if somebody's arrogant. You can tell if somebody's humble. And there's a lot of things your eyes tell people. And God has a lot to say about it. No mung, I'm not going to tell them what your eyes are saying right now. All right? I did hear that, all right? You thought you were thinking inside, didn't you? But it didn't stay inside. So God has much to say about it. We've gone verse by verse as they appear in Proverbs. Again, tonight, Proverbs chapter 21. I'm going to do a Brother Roloff sermon and read a verse and holler and read a verse and holler for a while. Amen. Proverbs chapter 21, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes." Here's the principle. Evil people aren't close to anyone. Evil people, evil is revealed in someone's eyes. I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I don't give a flip. And not because I dislike certain people, but I watched a little bit of the State of the Union last night, and the disrespect that Nancy Pelosi gave our president last night was ridiculous. Some of the evil look. She is an evil person. Her eyes reveal the evil. Folks, please don't take this the wrong way, but to cheer when babies that are born can be murdered and call it abortion, that's evil. That's beyond evil. Evil becomes what a person is. You can do evil things, but if you do them repetitively, you then become evil. Does that make sense to everybody? There are good people in this room. You've done evil things, but that doesn't mean you are evil. But when a person becomes evil in a lifestyle, it's revealed in their eyes. It really is. I have to move on. I could spend the whole night right there. Evil people are just plain mean.
Yes, they are.
And everything about them is mean. Everything is an agenda. Everything is about something negative. And by the way, the word evil is different than the word sinful. Sin, the Bible says, is a transgression of the law. The word transgress means trespass, to go across the line. evil is, let's say that Brother Randy and I decided to be evil against Brother Harry, and that means this: he and I go together to try to ruin his reputation. Yeah. Evil is two or more people going together. It's a conspiracy to tear somebody down, to ruin their name. That's one reason I think it's wicked as the stinking devil to get somebody up in church, standing before the church, and tell them all the bad things they've done. That's evil. I was talking to Dr. Anderson this week, and that came up. And he said, "Preacher, what do you think about it?" I said, "Well, about once every 3 or 4 weeks, I throw a fit about it because it's unscriptural and it's not real." He said, "You're one of the old men like me now." He said, "It's amazing how that's come back." I said, "Not around my church." I said, "It's not happening here." I said, "It's nothing but gossip. It's filthy. It's vile. It's wicked. It's evil. And it's wrong." I said, "I won't allow it." And folks, there's nothing scriptural about it, just so you know. That's evil. You cannot make everyone like you, but you don't have to let them affect your attitude. For you to get a bad attitude with somebody that's got a bad attitude, guess what? You're no better. For you to get an evil vendetta against somebody that's been evil to you, you've come down to where they are. Too many people, somebody hurts you, and you want to lash back doing the same type of thing, you then step down to where your enemy is. I refuse to do that. Please don't take this the wrong way. We've all done this as a parent. How many of you have gotten onto your kids with a bad attitude, but you had a bad attitude when you got on your kids? Mm-hmm. "I just don't like your attitude." "Oh, well, yours is so wonderful right now. You know, this is really going to fix it." Education time. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, we're all guilty, all right? None of us are perfect there. And I included me on that one too, just so you know. But we've got to be careful that we don't let somebody else's attitude affect ours. My kids hate this statement. "Your attitude's your fault. My attitude's my fault." If I'm so weak that I let somebody else affect my attitude, then I need to fix me. I don't let people control my attitude. I really don't. If somebody else is controlling it, that means God's not. Amen. I've got to let the Holy Spirit control my attitude. It's not a matter, and by the way, it goes against the flesh, just so you know. There are days I'd like to pull people's heads off and spit down the hole. I would. I've been there. Okay, God, you and I got to talk. If you go through the book of Exodus, if God and Moses ever got on the same page on the same day, there would be no Jews left. One day God's ready to kill them, and Moses says, "You can't do that." Next day, Moses said, "God, kill him." And God says, "I can't do that." Next day, they're back and forth. I mean, it's just all the way through. It's great. So evil people are not close to anyone. People who are evil don't let anybody get close. Who wants to be close to that? They've watched everybody that they know, they have torn down somebody else to them. When somebody tears somebody down to you, guess what? When they're not with you, they're going to tear you down. That's why I won't listen to gossip. I refuse to listen to it. You say, why? Because the moment, and by the way, usually I hang up on them. That means the next phone call they make, they're making bad things about me. That's all right. At least I don't have to hear it. I'm not listening to it. Number 16, I got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 9. Proverbs 22, verse number 9. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." I love this. Good people have eyes that look to help other people. Good people have eyes that look to help other people. Now, the word here, bountiful, means good, giving, or goodness, or wealthy. Now, listen to this very carefully here. People who are good share their goodness. Yes, yes, yes. Did you know that you can give more than money? Yeah. Sometimes it's given a good spirit. Sometimes it's given time. Sometimes it's giving love. Sometimes it's giving something that you have. Sometimes it's just being there for them. I had a pastor yesterday. He called me and he said, "Brother Bush, what do I do?" He said, "I got a teenager in my church. His best friend just committed suicide. I'm on my way to the house. What do I do?" I said, "Was his friend saved?" He said, "Not as far as I know." I said, "Good luck." I said, "All you can do is be there." I said, "Show them how important witness into their friends is." Now, we found out later that the young man probably was saved. Praise the Lord. But every day of my life, I get these kinds of things. You see, people who are good share their good with other people. The Bible says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed." Bread here is a very interesting word. It means the common things. Did you know that every group of people in the world, no matter what country, has a form of bread? Bread is the most common type of food in the world. It's not expensive. It's cheap. Sometimes it's raised bread. Sometimes it's flat bread. Sometimes it's whatever. But there is a form of bread in every people group in the world. In other words, sharing the common things. Could be waving at somebody as you drive down the road and using all of your fingers. It could be letting somebody else go through the stop sign versus you in a race to see who can get through there first. Oh, now we're getting down to where we live, huh? Just so many things. Good people are blessed by giving more than they are by getting. You see, getting is nice. Giving is nicer. Mr. Stuart McMillan, he's helped our church. He and his wife, Catherine, they'll be with us in March when we have our first service. He's given us $165,000 cash for our building, unbelievably. I worked for Stuart when I was in Bible college. I haven't seen Stuart in 28, 29 years. I don't even know how he found out we were building, but he did. Contacted me, gave us $65,000. A year later, said, "I got some crumbs left in the Christmas cookie jar in February of last year." Wanted the bank information and went over 3 or 4 days later and found out he put $100,000 cash in the bank account. If that's the crumbs, I can't wait to see the cookie. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. When he helped us the first time, we had the kids color pictures and teens and adults wrote letters and we did some nice things like that for them and sent them to him. And he sent me this long email back how he got home from work that day and his wife was sitting in the middle of the floor crying. And they sat down for 2.5 hours and did nothing but look through every picture, read every letter. She's got a scrapbook going of all the pictures that we've been sending and all those notes, and she's taking pictures. They've got a whole scrapbook full of stuff already. Well, I thanked him several times, and he said, "Craig, if you thank me one more time, I'm not showing up." He said, "All right." He said, "You understand." He said, "This is nothing to us." He said, "It's more fun. We get a bigger blessing than you get." And I had to curb that a little bit because I understand that. I said, "I understand. But thanks anyway." and he laughed. But, you know, it is. It's a wonderful thing to be able to give. Now, some can give a lot. Some can give bread. You don't have to give a lot. You just, by the way, to him, that wasn't a lot. To us, that was a lot. But to him, it's okay. He owns a worldwide business. Probably is a billionaire. I have no idea how much he's worth. Doesn't matter to me. He's my friend. Has been for all these years. Hired me, got me through Bible college. What more could I thank him for? Number 17. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse number 5. Just across the page there. "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward the heaven. Some of you know what that feels like. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. This means this. Don't let your eyes develop taste for things you can't afford. Don't allow your eyes to develop tastes for things you cannot afford. Let me word it a different way. Don't window shop if it creates a desire for you to buy. Some people should not window shop because you can't walk past the window without your credit card. Are we doing all right? Too many people want things out of their price range to where they, some of you will have to work three lifetimes just to pay off the bills that you have now. Let me say it this way. I was talking to a pastor either last week or this week. I can't remember. I've talked to so many people, it's not even funny. And they said, how come you didn't build a bigger building? And I said, because I can afford the payments right now based on what my church offerings are right now. I said, I can afford this building. I said, after I fill that building, I can build a bigger one. But until I can afford it, I'm not building a bigger building hoping that I'm going to fill it. Watch too many churches do that. And then they got to change what they preach to bring people in that have money. And that's how churches change. And I'm not changing. Like it or lump it. We might not have a cathedral, but we got a church. Amen. We're not going to have stained glass. Amen? I don't need stained glass. But I do know this. The deer are walking within bow range. They're leaving tracks everywhere. Now, wait a minute. We're not... Too many people look at things way beyond their taste. I won't tell you who, won't tell you what. I know a church that was going to build a building. And it was a large church, a large building. They were going to build about a $5 million building. When they got done, it cost them $28 million. They just about lost everything. Now that's a lot of overage, just so you know. Now, I'm not critical, but something got way out of hand. Way out of hand. I understand money like that, but I don't understand spending it like that. You see, what many call top quality means most expensive. I have found most expensive is not always top quality. I know some things that are medium grade that last longer than high quality. Period, end of discussion. I got to laughing about the stupid septic tank. I was out there and I said, you know, it makes me laugh. I said, all these people that want to recycle plastic. Oh, it won't break down in the earth. It won't break down in landfill. Do you know where the plastic came from to begin with? The dirt. Came right out of the ground. I'm not for wasting. I get that. But guess what? It all came from the dirt. It's going back where we got it. It's no problem. All right? What many people call top quality means more expensive. Functionality and long-lastingness and practicality, sometimes you're better off buying mid-range versus top-range. I could go with higher-range things in the church. But I'm looking at durability. I know enough about how churches get beat on in the buildings, so we went with what they call a VCT tile. That won't mean much to you, but VCT tile is vinyl composite tile. And the color you see on top goes all the way through to the bottom. It is the same color all the way through. So if it gets scratched, if it gets nicked, you won't see it. It's the same color down all the way through. Linoleum is a piece of plastic with a skin coat over top of it to give you the color. And if that skin coat gets nicked, it turns black over time and then it starts peeling away. The VCT will never do that. Well, you put 300-400 people in a building several times a week, and kids and people running chairs up and down on it and everything else, it's got to take a beating. So we'll spend a little bit more for VCT than you would linoleum, but I also don't have to wax it. Amen, Brother Joe? We don't have to put wax on it and take wax off and strip it and do all the things that you used to have to do with some of the old tile and all that kind of and mess and expense and, oh, my soul. Mop it and go. Here we go. So, by the way, it's not the highest end of flooring, but it's what we can afford, and it's going to be durable, and it will be adequate for what we need it to be. Does that make sense, everybody? Don't look at things that are out of your price range. If you need to buy a car and you have $5,000 to go buy a car with, don't go to the brand new car lot. Well, I can afford the payments, preacher. Yeah, I've heard that from every salesman that I've ever talked to. You can afford this. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse number 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, I love this verse. Some of you ought to memorize that verse. We need to study with our eyes the right way. I let my eyes study the right men of the past. I let my eyes study the right men of the present. Everybody doing okay? Today is the 18th anniversary of my preacher dying and going to heaven, Brother Hiles. 18 years ago this morning, he went to heaven. I miss Brother Hiles. Now, I'm not grieving. I miss him. Good night. If he came back right now, he'd slap me upside the head because he doesn't want to be back here. He'd been in heaven. I wouldn't want him back for that reason. Now, well, let me say this, but I studied under him. I watched him. I sat on platforms with him. I sat in the office with him. I had thousands of hours of meetings with him. I watched him work with staff. I watched him work with lay people. I watched him work with children. I watched him at every area I could watch the man. I studied him. I knew Dr. Lee Robertson, spent hours and hours with Lee Robertson. Brother Robertson was a little bit smaller than I am, always wore black or navy blue double-breasted suit, snow white hair. He pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee for 42 years, had at least 1,000 people baptized every year for 42 years straight. Dr. Robertson was an amazing man. He was not the most dynamic preacher you've ever heard in your life, especially in his latter years. He came preached at College Chapel one time. He preached for 13 minutes and was done. But you talk about a leader. Never. I was talking to a pastor recently that graduated under Dr. Robertson. I said, oh, I got to spend some time with him. I said, down the line, never vary. No, no, no. Point number one, read your Bible. Point number two, three to thrive. Got to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Number three, soul winning. He said, man, you do that pretty close in the order. I said, I know. I heard the sermons. Dr. Robertson was a great man. You see, you got to learn to study the right people. Now, listen to this statement here. We need to study right patterns, not just the patterns we like. There were men that I studied. I would take one part of their life because I liked that part of their life, but the other parts of their life I couldn't replicate because they really weren't right in those areas. But I could add it to what I am. Does that make sense to everybody? It doesn't mean they were bad, but there were parts of their life I could not replicate. I couldn't be a Joe Boyd. Number one, I'm not 6'4", 265 pounds. All right. Number two, I didn't play for the Washington Redskins and Baylor football and Golden Gloves boxer. I wasn't that kind of guy. Joe was. So Joe had a roughness about him that only Joe Boyd had. But I knew Dr. Joe Boyd. I loved Dr. Boyd. What a good man. And there were things about him I could emulate and I could watch. Now, I say that to say this. We teach our children by them watching us. As their pastor, I teach them by them watching me. Those little bus kids jumping off the bus on Sundays. I promise you, if the preacher's not here one Sunday and they jump off that bus and I'm not there standing at the door, shake their hand, I'm going to hear about it. And as we add bus 2 and bus 3 and bus 4 and bus 5 and bus 10 and bus 12, eventually, say, preacher, where are you going to be standing out there shaking hands as they get off that bus? They're just as important to this church as we are. Somebody's got to love them. And I learned that from great people. Now, let me say this. Children may fail to listen to all you say, but they will never fail in copying what you do. They will copy what you do. You will see yourself in your children in so many ways. Realize that someone's always watching you. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. I'm going to hurry with this. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Sounds like Congress. Look at verse number 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Verses 29 through 35 talk about someone who is drunk, who is on alcohol. Alcohol affects people's eyes. Alcohol affects the physical eyes with redness, puffiness. You can look at somebody and just about tell if they've been drinking. You really can. Alcohol impairs vision. They lose depth perception. They lose the ability to hold a straight line. That's why some of the cognitive skills tests that they give them is based on depth perception. You know, put your hands to your sides and bring your right finger to your nose, and they're touching their ear. They can't see it because their eyes aren't perceiving it right. Alcohol causes people to see things that are not there. Now, I've never drank it, never been drunk, don't plan to be, and plan on living my whole life or not. But I used to hear people say, oh, yeah, did you see the pink elephant, you know? And no, I didn't see it. They did, but you didn't. They see things that aren't there, and it causes them to see things that aren't in reality. I'll say this as carefully as I can. Alcohol perverts a person's vision. It's the best way I know how to say it. It will pervert your vision. And I'll not go any farther with that because I want to cover a few more things and I have 6 minutes. Proverbs chapter 25. Look at verse number 6. I really want to hit this one. Proverbs chapter 25, look at verse number 6. Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. Notice that word there, king. Okay? And stand not in the place of great men. For better it is to be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thy eyes have seen. Now everybody look at me. There is a difference between the king and the prince. This is in reference to leadership. You have the king who has a high position of authority, and you have the prince who is several steps under that authority. And you are to be serving the prince, and yet you want to lift yourself over the prince and be in the presence of the king. So here is the principle. We need to quit looking for position. Too many people, God says it's better to be close to the boss that's right above you than trying to go after the big boss. In 2019 terminology, quit sucking up to the big boss. Too many people want to go to the big boss and disobey their supervisor. No, you're supposed to obey the supervisor, and if you obey the supervisor long enough, the big boss will eventually notice. the man who owned the company that I worked for, I didn't work real hard at getting to know him. I just started serving the bosses that I worked for. Guess what? The guy that owned the company gave us $165,000 for our church building. I didn't suck up to him. I didn't. I think I've only been in his office one time. I don't mean this the wrong way. We're not super duper buddy close. But he's invested in my life. I've kept up with him a little through the years. I've thanked him for his investment of getting me through Bible college to do what I'm doing. Because of that, and by the way, I couldn't tell you how he likes his coffee, but I could tell you how my supervisors like their coffee. Greg liked two creams, two sugars. Jim wanted four sugars and one cream. Then Ed wanted three and three. I haven't worked there in 28 years, and I still remember. Say why? Because I made sure my supervisors had their coffee fresh every time they wanted it. But I couldn't tell you how Stuart drank coffee or if he even drank it. I had no idea. His office was way too far away from my machine. Everybody understand that? Boy, that's good stuff. God says it's better for us to serve the leader just over us and let God take care of getting close to the king. Too many people want to hop around and they want to impress the king. Why don't you just keep impressing the supervisor and eventually it'll get to the king. Too many people think they're of higher value than their position offers. Why don't you just settle into your position and let somebody else lift you up? Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 20. Man, there's so many things I need to say. We are not going to finish all of this. Proverbs 27, look at verse number 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Uncontent eyes are like hell and destruction. Uncontent eyes are like hell and destruction. We need to be content with what we have. Now, there's a difference between content and satisfied. I think we ought to always try hard. I think we ought to always improve. I think we ought to continue to be better than what we are, but that's not being discontented. That's not being satisfied with what you are. But I think we ought to be content with the things that we have. Just because Harry gets a new car doesn't mean I got to go buy a new one. Just because Miss Marcia buys a new car doesn't mean I need to go buy one. Just because Mung hits a deer doesn't mean I got to go hit four. You saw that one. You knew it was coming eventually, didn't you? Now, wait a minute. We need our eyes to stay content with the things that we have. We need to learn not to want things that are beyond what we honestly, easily can handle. Listen to this statement. We don't need to conquer everything. Some things we ought to be content with. There are things that my wife and I have yet to do in our marriage because we reared three kids and we've been in the ministry. We may never get to them. That's okay. At least we have things to look forward to. No big deal. Destruction or tearing down is never satisfied. We should not get into tearing down people. The more you tear people down, the more unsatisfied with tearing down you are, so the more tearing down you do. That's why gossips are very hard to stop sometimes, because they enjoy tearing down. They're never satisfied with just tearing one thing down, so they go from person to person to person to person to person. Hell and destruction are not satisfied. And that's why criticism doesn't stop. Critics keep criticizing, and they criticize in every area. I try not to be a critic. There's no such thing as constructive criticism. Criticism, that's like saying, a white black person. It ain't there, or a black white person. All right? Yeah. That's okay. I get called the opposite, so don't worry. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been called a black white preacher. Now, wait a minute. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as constructive criticism. You can teach someone, but that doesn't mean be critical. You can help someone. By the way, just pointing out error doesn't make you a good teacher either. So many more things. I've got to quit. There's half a dozen more left, but we're going to quit. Folks, our eyes are so important. Everything that we put into these, let's be careful. Let's be careful. The old song, oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Pretty important song, even for us adults. Let's be cautious with our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our eyes, they say a lot. They tell us a lot. They're pretty important.